to our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are now ready for your word. Father, we pray now that everything that we do and everything that we say will be pleasing in your sight, would encourage, would edify, would equip, so that those who need you would know you, and those who know you would grow in you, so that ultimately our lives will be pleasing in your sight. We ask you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know. I think it's a kind of modern thought. At least I don't remember hearing about it when I was growing up, and I didn't hear about it when my children were younger. It's this idea of educating your children with the end in mind. This idea of what you do in preschool will actually impact what your child will become professionally. As a matter of fact, let me be honest with you. I was one of those people that was like, man, why would you pay $30,000 a year for your child to go play with blocks in preschool, right? Because I didn't understand the importance of early childhood education. I didn't understand the importance of establishing those synapses, firing in certain areas of the brain in order to facilitate brain development, right? So now you hear about people educating their children with the end in mind. They don't think about college when their child gets into high school as a choice, as an option. No, they talk about these things and start putting pieces in places as their children get older, so it's just an expected path for them to take in terms of post-secondary educational experiences, whether it's college or vocational school, whatever it is, that they're going to do something positive and impactful with their life. Now, here's what's interesting to me. While many people are talking about educating their children with the end in mind, very few people are talking about discipling their children with the end in mind. How will you disciple your child with the end in mind? In other words, instead of asking your child, what do you want to be when you grow up? Begin asking the question, what does God want my child to be when they grow up? And we're not just talking about a vocational choice. We're talking about character development. Becoming the people that God wants them to be. Today is Mother's Day, and it's a day of celebration. But today is more than a celebration. It's a recognition of influence. Because behind every strong child, there is often a faithful mother. Because every child who walks with God many times saw a mother who walked with God first. It reflects the investment that a mother will make in a child. And behind every God-fearing life, there is often a God-following influence. Today, the Apostle Paul is sharing words with his young protege, Timothy. He's not just talking about his preaching, but he's highlighting his formation. He's not just talking about Timothy's ministry, he's talking about Timothy's upbringing. Paul recognizes that Timothy's public ministry is really rooted and grounded in a private discipleship that he experienced throughout his life. And so when Paul says to Timothy, I see something in you, he sees something in him. But he recognizes that before it was in Timothy, it was in his grandmother and in his mother. And he recognizes there is a spiritual lineage that Timothy just didn't discover faith, but he inherited formation. Today, for a few moments, I want to talk to you from the thought how to raise a child from the cradle to calling. How to raise a child from the cradle to calling. What does it look like to intentionally invest in your children and in your grandchildren to help them become the best people they can possibly be. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Those of you who are watching, you can download an outline using our church app, or you can go to goodhope.org and find an outline there. The letter of 2 Timothy is Paul's final letter. Timothy is a young pastor navigating potential and pressure. He's navigating opportunity and opposition. And Paul doesn't begin when he talks to Timothy in this second epistle to Timothy by announcing or talking about his gifting. He begins talking about Timothy's grounding. My brothers and sisters, here's what I've learned in life. I've lived long enough to understand that there are times in life where your gifting won't be able to keep you. Your grounding is going to have to keep you. You're going to need to hold on to a solid foundation even when the applause of people begins to quiet. Here is Timothy, a preacher, but Paul is not focusing on Timothy, the preacher. Paul is focusing on Timothy, who is the product of discipleship at home. Four things I want you to see real quick that I hope and pray will help you and encourage you to re-examine what it means to be a mother or father, for that matter, even if your children are grown, what it means to be the grandmother, the auntie, the uncle, to be the positive spiritual depositor in the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your nieces, your nephews, your great-nieces, your great-nephews. How has God called you to touch tomorrow today by intentionally discipling those you have influence over? Here's the first thing. Number one, if you're going to raise a child from the cradle to calling, you must model a sincere faith before your child. You must model a sincere faith before your child. When you finish filling in model, faith, and child, circle that word, underline that word, highlight that word, sincere. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. The surety that Paul announces in 2 Timothy is in part because of everything that he saw before and after he wrote 1 Timothy. He saw evidence in the life of Timothy that there had been a sincere faith that undergirded who he was as a man and who he was as a man of God. Timothy didn't just hear about God. He saw God lived out in his home. His mother didn't just talk faith. She walked faith. He didn't just hear about God. He saw God lived out by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who were Jewish believers who trusted Christ and intentionally taught Timothy the scriptures from his childhood. They didn't just talk faith, they walked faith. And this shows us something powerful, because here's what God wants you to understand. Before the church disciples publicly, the home should disciple privately. We have a number of parents, and I understand, because when your children were born, you didn't get a manual on how to raise them little heathens. I mean them little bundles of joy. Yeah, you didn't understand what you were dealing with. You didn't understand what you were walking into. And when folk told you about them terrible twos, you said, oh, yeah, I can handle it. And then when them terrible twos came, you was like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And please don't multiply exponentially having more than one child. And finding out that each child, even though they grew up in the same house, slept under the same roof, put their feet under the same table, and ate out of the same pot, all have different personalities. Amen. So here is Paul talking to Timothy, and he highlights his mama and his grandmama. Eunice Her name means good victory. It's a compound name. You means good, E-U, and Nice is Nike, which means victory. So it means to be victorious, to be well conquering. Eunice was Timothy's mother, described as a Jewish believer who helped shape Timothy's faith. Listen, a mother who walks in faith can raise her children to walk in victory. Powerful, powerful example. You don't have to be perfect. Just be consistent. Amen. Lois was his grandmother. Her name is kind of challenging etymologically. They don't know exactly what it means, but scholars connect it typically to the Greek root, suggesting something desirable, agreeable, or excellent. It's most commonly understood as better or more desirable. Lois was Timothy's grandmother. Paul highlights her sincere faith first, suggesting generational spiritual legacy. He says, I knew your grandmother. I know your mama. And because I know your grandmama and I know your mama and I know who they are, I see evidence of who they are and who you are. I remember walking down the street in Fairmont, West Virginia, minding my business, walking down the hill from my grandmother's house, and somebody on the porch hollered out, said, "Hey!" And I said, "Yes." He said, "You Zanus's boy, ain't you?" And I said, "Yes, yes, sir. Yes, I am." He said, "All right, I thought so." Now, you know, that's country talk, right? Folks start hollering at you from the porch, talking about who's your kinfolk, who your people are, right? You Miss Mazella's grandson, aren't you, right? And they could see the family resemblance. There was evidence that that's who I came from. Well, watch this. If folk don't know who you came from physically, can they watch your walk and see who you came from spiritually? Is there any evidence in how you walk and how you talk that you are a child of God? Now, here's what's interesting. Timothy, his name means honoring God. It's as if they knew who they wanted him to be when they named him. Timothy, to honor God. And this meaning fits Timothy's life because he became God's chosen vessel, Paul's spiritual son, his missionary companion, and became used by God to help change the world. Here's what I need you to understand. What began as sincere faith in Lois became victorious faith in Eunice and resulted in a God-honoring faith in Timothy. Today, I want you to stop for a moment and think about the lineage of faith, listen, that you have inherited, but think about the legacy of faith that you're leaving behind. Which one of your children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, great nieces, great grandchildren, which one of them will be a better child of God because you have intentionally poured into them what God has poured into you? Children may listen to what you say, but they imitate what you show and what they see. You can tell a child to pray, but if they never see you pray, it's going to be a challenge. You can tell a child to trust God, but if they never see you trust God, they will learn from your actions, not your instructions. Because here's what we know. A child can detect inconsistency faster than instruction. So what are some things you can do? Let me give you a couple of things. You can jot these down. Live your faith openly at home. You don't need to be a secret agent saint in your own house. God's not looking for undercover believers. Amen. Model praying by praying not just for your child, but praying with your child and let your child pray with you. Let your child see you trust God in difficult times, no matter how old they are. Let your children see you forgive, serve, and obey. See, too many times we will share with our children out of our hurt and our pain, but we will not share with them the resolution for that hurt and pain, and that comes from our own spiritual growth and maturity. Proverbs 20, verse 7, let's read it together. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 7, you sound so good. Let's read it together. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. Long before there was a synagogue, there was a place to sit at the house where the Word of God and the principles of God's word are shared. Here's the second thing. Number two, not only must you model a sincere faith before your child in terms of how you live, you must teach the word of God to your child. You must teach the word of God to your child. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am sure dwells in you. Watch what he says. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From childhood. Timothy didn't stumble into the scriptures. He was saturated in scripture because from childhood they intentionally taught Timothy the word of God. I need somebody to understand, faith in your children isn't deposited and developed accidentally. It happens intentionally. You got to work hard to disciple. And listen, we work hard to disciple every generation at this church. We want to make sure from the cradle to the grave, everybody has an age-appropriate, generationally relevant discipleship experience. But can I tell you something? You can't leave it to the church to be the sole provider of discipling your children. What we do here at the church should support what you do at home. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I already feel it. Some of you are looking at me. You're saying, but Pastor, you're telling me I should teach them the word, and I don't know the word. I'm not telling you you got to be a Bible scholar. What I'm telling you is you got to live it, and you got to know enough that when you don't know, you commit yourself to learning so you can share it with those who are looking to you to give them an example for life and living. Here at the church, we want to reinforce the faith of your child, but your home forms the faith of your child. So I want you to be intentional about teaching scripture. I want you to create daily and weekly rhythms of spiritual conversations. I want you to think about what it feels like, man, with your child to pray, and not just pray over them after they go to school, but pray with them before they go to school. And what's going on, and they dealing with a situation or circumstance, man, listen, can we pray about it? You know what, let's pray about it. There's a bully at school. There's somebody that's not acting right at school. Let's pray for them right now. And let's ask God to give us direction as to how he wants us to act. See, here's what I've learned. A child's mind is like soil. Whatever you plant in it will grow in it. If you plant truth and water with truth, you will see truth grow up. If you plant nothing, you don't know who will plant in your child's life. And you will see the evidence long after by seeing what grows in their life. Matter of fact, can I just go one step further? Every one of us and every one of our children will be discipled by somebody. They just may not be discipled in Jesus. They'll be discipled by the gangs. They'll be discipled by their friends, their social clique. Some of them are being discipled by social media, by Instagram and TikTok, and it's shaping how they view the world. And that's all we're talking about. Can you give your child, can you give your grandchild, can you give your niece, can you give your nephew, your great niece, your great nephew, can you give them a God perspective on life and what God thinks about their life and living? Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Let's read that together. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Let's go to the third thing. Number three, if you're going to raise a child from the cradle to calling, you must cultivate an environment where your child's faith can grow. You must cultivate an environment where your child's faith can grow. The text says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 1, of faith that dwelt, circle that word dwelt, first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you also. Circle that word dwells. Now, those two words come from the same root, and it's interesting because it's a compound word that literally means in house or in home, and it literally means to be at home in. In other words, he says, the faith that you had that dwelt in your grandmother and your mother is dwelling in you. That means to live in, to inhabit, to reside in, to make one's home in, or to take permanent residence in. He says faith, watch this, should never be a visitor. It should be a resident in your life. Faith shouldn't just come by when tough times come. Faith should live in your spirit, live in your spiritual house to be ready when tough times come your way. So some of y'all don't even know how to pray until times get hard. It's almost like God has to let tough times come to get your attention. And then you start praying, talking about, if I ever needed the Lord before, I sure do need him now. No, you didn't just start needing the Lord when times got hard. You needed the Lord all the time. Paul says, you didn't have an occasional belief. You didn't have a borrowed religion. You didn't have Sunday spirituality. You didn't have an inherited tradition without transformation. This was not grandma went to church, mama liked church, and now Timothy knows some good spiritual stories. This is Paul telling him, faith moved into your grandmama's heart, took up residence in your mama's life, and now is a part of your life. We're talking about generational transformation. And here's what I need you to know. Faith must be more than around you. It's got to be something real within you. Real faith is residential, not occasional. And generational faith is seen and caught through authentic example. That's why he said it's a sincere faith. It's a real faith. It's a unhypocritical, genuine, authentic faith. He says that's the faith that you want to see. And you don't see that faith growing up unless it is in an environment where it can be cultivated. My wife is a plant lover. And it's amazing. I don't know what the science is behind it, but it's like these plants have their own personality. And man, if we go away, she gonna say goodbye before we leave and tell them to take care of them, be good. And I'm gonna send so-and-so by to water you and whatnot. And when we come back, she gonna come and man, she'll see, man, one of them drooping over. She'll start talking to him. Oh man, what happened to you? I know you, man, let me open up this blind. Listen, I want you to know it's going to be all right. Hold on, let me get you some water. And she's talking to these plants like they are real. Now, y'all, I'm not arguing with it, because if you give me a plant to water, it's going to be dead soon and very soon. Right? So don't give me a plant to take care of. Black thumbs, that's what they are, black thumbs, right? No green thumb, black thumbs. But here's what she has taught me. These plants respond in a culture and in an environment of encouragement. Now, I'm not sure if it's her words or just her actions, because I'm thinking, just water the plant. Well, you got to have a conversation with the plant, right? And here's what I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters. Do you have, and have you cultivated, a culture of discipleship in your house? A culture of peace, a culture of investing, of pouring into. Because I will tell you this, I've learned that's a culture that children want to be around, grown and otherwise. Joshua 24, verse 15 says, "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Here's the last thing I want you to see. I told you, number one, you must model a sincere faith before your child. Number two, you must teach the word of God to your child. Number three, you must cultivate an environment where your child's faith can grow. Here's the fourth and final thing. If you're going to raise a child from the cradle to calling, you must trust God by pouring spiritual truths into your child. You've got to trust God by pouring spiritual truths into your child. Paul saw the evidence of a sincere faith in the life of Timothy. That faith was planted in him, and now it was producing fruit through him. But they recognized, and Paul recognized, that it would not have happened unless they were intentional about pouring and modeling spiritual truths into young Timothy. Some of you in here, I would say primarily baby boomers, those of us born between 1946 and 1986, oldest baby boomers this year, in case you can't do the math real quick, would be 80. The youngest baby boomers this year would be 62. And if you were born in that era, there are those who would say if you grew up in a Christian home, you had a drug problem because you got drugged to church every Sunday. Some of y'all looking like, what drugs? I never used. No, you got drugged to church every Sunday. You got, come on, some of y'all, you can raise your hand if you... You got Sunday school, morning service, afternoon service, evening service, BYPU, BTU, Wednesday night, choir rehearsal, Saturday ushers meeting. You got dragged to church. Here's a mistake that we made in reaction to the good intentions of our parents who just wanted to keep us out of trouble and get something good in us. I ain't gonna make my children go to church. I'm gonna let them make their own decisions. I'm gonna let them decide for themselves. Do you know how crazy that sounds? Wait a minute, let me ask you what. Do you just put a menu in front of your children and say, you choose whatever you wanna eat? I ain't gonna tell you what you gotta eat. I don't wanna stress you. Mama don't wanna stress you. I want you to eat whatever you wanna eat. Your child would have never eaten a vegetable unless it was part of a dessert. They would have never eaten all their food. They would have never drank any water if you gave them a choice. Man, listen, I wanted to drink soda all the time. My mom and dad, no, get some water. You got to clean your kidneys out. I don't even know what a kidney is. Are y'all hearing me? And it's amazing that we will give our children a choice before they are mature enough to understand the ramifications of the choices they make. Get mad at me. That's all right. You get over it. Go get therapy. Get a book. Write a book. I don't care. You get over it eventually. Because I ain't trying to be your friend. I'm your daddy. And the problem is too many of us want to be liked by our children instead of respected by our children and appreciated by our children. See, when you plant, watch this, you may not see the fruit immediately. But that's why you sow and trust God to transform. See, so when things don't go right, you don't panic and get discouraged when you don't see immediate results. Don't quit sowing good seeds into your child, into your grandchild, because you don't see them responding right away. Sometimes they got to go through a little bit in life before they can come back and say, thank you for what you taught me. Have I got a witness here? You got to learn how to trust God with your child's spiritual journey and keep sowing even when growth is unseen. Because here's what you need to understand. What you deposit, God will develop. Somebody tweet that for me. Write that down. What you deposit, God will develop. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 and 7. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Galatians 6, 9, let's read it together. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Today we celebrate mothers. Celebrate grandmothers. We celebrate those not just for what they do, but for what they deposit. Because a godly mother, a godly grandmother, a godly auntie doesn't just raise children, she raises disciples. A godly mother doesn't just prepare them for school, she prepares them for spiritual battles. A godly mother doesn't just teach them how to live in the world, she teaches them who to live for while they're in the world. Because when a mother models faith, a child learns how to walk with God. When a mother teaches the word, a child learns how to hear from God. What you pour in today may not show up today, but it'll show up in tomorrow. What you plant in childhood will produce in adulthood. What you invest in their soul will pay dividends on earth and echo into eternity. When a mother trusts God, God does what only God can do. So I want to encourage somebody today, somebody who's watching, a mother who may be weary in the midst of your journey with your children, keep on praying. Keep on teaching. Keep on modeling. Keep on trusting, because what you give today will show up in their life tomorrow. And what you plant today will bloom and blossom in their tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for every mother, every grandmother, every spiritual mother. Strengthen them to model faith, teach your word, to cultivate a godly home, and to trust you with their children, with those that you have given them an opportunity to pour into. Give them endurance when they feel weary, wisdom when they feel uncertain, and peace when they feel anxious. Let the seeds that they plant produce fruit that glorifies you for generations to come. I thank you, God, for my own mother. Not just for my mother, for my grandmother, for my godmother, for those who poured into me and prayed for me. And I thank you, God, that even today, even though all of them have gone home to be with you, you're still answering their prayers. And I thank you for that, God. I pray now, God, for somebody who may be a little discouraged, may be a little frustrated, may be feeling a little sorry for themselves. Even, God, for that single mother, father of her children may be nowhere to be found. They may not get a Mother's Day wish because their child is too young to do it on their own and has nobody to instruct them to do it. But God, I pray that you would, by your Spirit, ring in their hearts a happy Mother's Day. And let them know, God, just like you saw Hagar when Sarah went after her, after having Ishmael. It was her testimony that you are Jehovah Roi. You are the God who sees. And so let these mothers, these grandmothers, these spiritual mothers, aunties, let them all know that you see and that your reward is sure. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Today, the greatest gift you can give your child is not a plan of success. It's the plan of salvation. Because you cannot lead a child any other way that will lead to not just success on the outside, but more importantly, peace on the inside. For somebody today, you need to know you can't lead where you haven't gone. You can't export what you haven't imported. And you have to make a decision for Christ for yourself. I don't know if yet that child that you have that has put you into motherhood, if you would say that that child was an accident. But here's what I will tell you. I believe every birth is orchestrated by God. And every life is precious in God's sight. And now that you have crossed over into motherhood, crossed over into being that spiritual mother for somebody, are you prepared to walk in that place? Everybody who can, everybody who will, if you would stand. And I want to encourage somebody today, if you want your child to grow in God, it begins with you knowing God. Timothy couldn't inherit a sincere faith unless it existed in his grandmother and his mother. And my brothers and my sisters, I want to encourage somebody today to say yes to God. The QR code that's on the screen, if you would like to quick link, fast link that, it's a hot link, and it will take you to a page where you can make a choice. I want to accept Jesus Christ in my life. I want God to be real in my life. Or maybe you just are sitting there saying, you know what? I need to make a change in my life. I'm already a Christian, but I haven't been walking the way God wants me to walk. I need somebody to help me, to encourage me, to not judge me, but to help me to get where God wants me to be. We want to be that church for you. We want the privilege to be able to encourage you. No judgment zone here, because we're all an imperfect people serving a perfect God. And we'd like to help you get to where God wants you to be. If you're here today under the sound of my voice and you're in need of a Savior, you want to make it right with God, or you're looking for a church home and you believe this is where God wants you to be, come on and come right now. As we sing the song of invitation, those of you who know the Lord, I want you to just whisper a prayer right now. You don't know who you're sitting next to, who's sitting behind you or in front of you. But if you know the Lord, I want you praying that whoever needs you today will make a decision to know you. As we sing and we pray, we want you to come.
Lord, I'm available to you.
Come on, we're praying for you. We're waiting on you.
My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do. Use me, Lord, to show someone the way and enable me to say, my story.
Come on, let's sing it one more time. Lord, I'm available to you. Come on and come. Say yes today to the Lord.
Lord, I'm available to you.
Lord, 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 Lord. My will.
My will I give to you. I'll do what you say do.
Use me, Lord, to show someone the way,
and enable me to say, my storage is empty, and I am available to you.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Would you give the Lord a hand of praise today if you were encouraged? Amen.